Good evening and welcome to Slam the Gavel, the show that tells all regarding family court, other court issues, as well as CPS. I am your host, Marianne Petri. This episode of Slam the Gavel is sponsored by CPS Protect Consulting Services. Child Protective Services cases are among the most frightening experiences any parent can endure. Don't face them alone. With urgent assist by CPS Protect, you get the peace of mind to raise your children as you see fit. And the personalized assistance of their team of expert child welfare consultants, former CPS investigators themselves, right when you need it. Get started absolutely free at cpsprotect.com/register. And I have another announcement. Go to the site, pleasedoyourjob.com, and sign the petition. We need 2,000 more signatures to get a case reopened. That's pleasedoyourjob.com. I have a return guest on. I have Bill Corbett. He's executive officer of Veterans Fathers, and we're going to talk about a DV shelter for men called Daddy's House. He was last on my podcast, Season 5, Episode 25, which was November 12th of 2023. I welcome you back, Bill Corbett. How are you? And you've got a lot going on.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me back. It's been awesome.
Well, this is interesting about what you've come up with. How is it going and how did it start?
So Daddy's House has always been on our map. We launched in social media April of 23, and we went through the marketing plan we have for social media. And we knew we were going to go forward with Daddy's House DV Shelter. Mm-hmm. When the marketing firm came back and said, "You did awesome. We've got great message traffic. You're definitely hitting all the hot spots, but what about this?" And it was Daddy's House. Mm-hmm. And I said, we need to do that next year. Definitely next year. And when we compiled all the data about why Daddy's House, why the DV shelters, so there's a lot of research went behind that. Essentially, we chose the word Daddy's House for several reasons. One is it's universal. Mm-hmm. It translates well in different languages and cultures. But also, too, when we did the research, children was the main impetus for picking that term for the DV shelter. Mm-hmm. And that is when a child thinks about Daddy's House, mm-hmm. a child, and it's based on research, basically sees Daddy's House as somewhere they can go for protection, kindness, empathy. But also, too, they go to Daddy's House because it's familiar. Mm-hmm. It's a familiar term. Mm-hmm. So that kind of covers the terminology. Getting into the research, it's pretty shocking once you get into it. And I've done some videos on this, some shorts and stuff, bringing everybody up to speed, is women and women-based facilities, and, mm-hmm. and I'll explain that in a minute, have 2,000 facilities throughout the United States. Men only have 2. I heard recently, and I can't find it, so if one of your listeners has it, if they could send it to me, I'd appreciate it, that there's now a third shelter for men that's went up. And I looked at that from the standpoint of, in IPV-based relationships, men suffer violence 70% more than women. And that's definitive. I published on that already. And when I looked at it just as a level playing field, just let's just say it's 50-50 even, then why don't men have 2,000 domestic violence shelters? I mean, just even. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what it boils down to is children. Why not care for a father's child as much as you would care for a mother's child? It's about kids. And I got looking into the research that's out there available for domestic violence shelters for women. If you show up and your child, being a male child, is 13 years of age and older, he can't come in the shelter. They'll turn him away because predominantly women are in there, and they'll see that as approaching adulthood for a male. And mm-hmm. that creates a very anxious atmosphere in the shelter. So I get it. There may be some legal constructs around that I'm not familiar with, but I can't speak to that. We looked at forming hours, and based on our preliminary, we don't see a reason why we can't take a male child above 13 years of age. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody gets confused about veteran fathers, Daddy's House, what we're doing, everything like that. Okay, we focus towards men and fathers. Whether you're a veteran or not, to us, doesn't matter. and you know this from having worked with me, we also help women. Okay. So it's not a gender, oh, he's just for men. Well, that's anger, and that's not based on fact or logic or reason. So those people are going to be angry.
Well, you gave me pretty good advice on an issue.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not gonna go through that, but
Right.
Marianne's one example. I'm working with two or three other ladies as well. Our main goal is to fight the courts and get the courts fixed. Okay. And I've talked about combining efforts and everybody partnering up. It isn't a husband or a wife or a father and a mother issue. It's a court issue that we're facing. And everybody faces this. I found some definitive research. It's actually very damning that says that men suffer false allegations at a rate of 91%. But there are 9% women who suffer false allegations. And when I published on that, women get angry. They say, well, I was hit with a false allegation. Well, you're the 9%. Well, what about me? Well, that's where we need to stop. Stop it, people. Please stop. This isn't a self-interest. You're in the position you're in because the courts are out of freaking control. Okay? So quit fighting me and join forces. Okay? And I've already talked about the men's rights movement, mainly the fathers' rights movement, and I'm not an activist, I'm more of a spokesperson, is so disheveled. They're all over the map. And they need to get organized. And here's the reason why. Once the men get organized and once women get organized along the same lines, what you're doing, okay, we have two forces that can hit these courts. Not just one force in a frontal attack, but two forces in a multi-pronged approach in getting these courts fixed. They're not ready for that. Instead, what they're continuing to do is keep us all fragmented. If they keep us fragmented, they can beat us all day long. And they've been doing it all day long. They don't have to try and they beat us because we're beating ourselves. So when I looked at Daddy's House, and I'm also writing a book, I got digging down to the details of the research as I'm writing the book. Like, where's your source data? Where did you get your raw data to write this work? And what I found out is DV shelters. And I couldn't believe what I was looking at. So I went back, and the ones that do in their research document, they'll list, and you've got to dig down in there. They'll list where the core data is, where the source data comes from. And it's coming out of most of it's coming out of DV shelters. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Women have 1,998 more data collection points than men. Men only have two. There might be a third. I haven't found it. And I thought, now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. So you have lawmakers making laws based on this data and none collected on men, practically none. And then you have researchers publishing on this data, not normalizing it, not normalizing. And I'll speak to that in a minute. They're not normalizing it. And okay, they got that. Lawmakers look at it, legislators look at it, everybody looks at it. Well, what happens is you create a model of power and money. Okay. So for instance, I'm writing the business plan for Daddy's House in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. We want it to be the premier world showcase for all Daddy's House globally. There are 72 in the state of Georgia, there are 72 DV shelters focused towards women, zero for men. We already know that. But there's millions of dollars poured into women's organizations from both the state and federal level, and I'll have all that in the business plan. None for men. None.
Oh,
Then
and
I
oh, go ahead.
and I found a breakdown of monies allocated towards women's groups and women's DV shelters. Millions, tens of millions of dollars annually. Zero for men. In the state, that's just in the state of Georgia. And I started thinking, no wonder men are getting angry. No wonder men are saying, we're not being heard. Our voice is not being heard. What they're actually saying is, the researchers aren't normalizing the data. So coming from the IT world and looking at big data structures and everything like that, one of the key things we do is we normalize data. If you collect from one data point, you need to have data from another data point. You have to match them 1 to 1. Well, right now it's 1,998 data points to 2. Okay, that data is not normalized. And what happened in the 90s, and from what I can see, and I'm still trying to figure this out, apparently what happened with the researchers and the data scientists, now these are IT data scientists, is they started pushing on these researchers in the world of mental health and saying, your data is not normalized, your data is biased, your data is this. Start pushing on them. And they took a step back and went, wow, that now, see, that's significant for a researcher and someone who publishes on the data. Because now their works are invalid. That now makes them placed among their professional community as a charlatan. So what they started doing is they started going through and looking at how to normalize this data. And what you've seen is you've seen a shift in the reporting. Now you're seeing a shift in the reporting of, yes, in IPV relationships, men are 70% the victim. Yes, when it comes down to child physical crimes against a child, including murder, it's women that lead. Now you're seeing this. Well, what's happening is that power struggle is going on. Okay, yeah, the numbers are bad. And to the women listening, this is not to say you're a bad woman. This is to say, this is what I'm talking about is what the data is showing. Okay. There are good people on both sides of the spectrum, but what you're missing as a listener is the good data has not been out about men, but now it's starting to come out and cast women in a bad light. Now you have this power struggle that's occurring. And it's a power struggle of right now, women and women's groups, women and organizations control all the money for DV shelters, 100% of it. When I got the list down of organizations we need to present in front of and go to approach, 100% of them are women or women-run organizations. None men. None. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to do the presentation as it fits my audience. I've had, and this is to credit women, this is a big handshake. Thank you, ladies, and you're one of them too, Marianne, is more women are helping out than men in Daddy's House and Veteran Fathers. And to you men that listen to this, think about that for a second. These women get it. These women understand, they're like, right, it isn't fair. It needs to be fair. We'll help out. How can we help, Bill? What can we do here? As of December of last year, we went over the 50% to where it's now almost 65. I got to rerun the numbers. Almost 65% more women helping out with Veteran Fathers and Daddy's House than there are men. Think about that. Now, what you see me do in my video shorts is I take excuses off the board for men. For men. I'm like, oh, you ain't got time? Well, that's poor time allocation, time management. You had no problem going to the Super Bowl. You had no money. You have no money, but you paid $2,500 for a Super Bowl ticket. That excuse is off the board. I'm taking excuses off the board one at a time. One of the things I'm doing, and your listeners, please, please, please pay attention to this, is use XMind. It's an application. They're not paying us. I don't get supported by it, but we use it. What you have to do, and we have a template built, and I can provide you with that template. Just hit me up. The best way to get a hold of me is my Linktree. But to hit me up in the link tree, I'll send you the template. And we've built that to represent what's going on in family court, all the parties involved, but also investigative efforts that go into solving this crime cartel. How I built the template is I based it on the FBI crime cartel criteria that I got from the FBI in the 90s. It hasn't changed much. So I took that template I got. Built that into a mathematical model. From that, I molded in aspects of family court and child custody proceedings and cases. From that, I built the XMind template. It's available to you. I'll give it to you. You just download XMind, the application. You'll get this template model over. You click on it, it'll open up in front of you. And when you look at it, you'll be like, oh my God, these are aspects I didn't think of. Here's why it's important. Everybody says they have evidence of the criminal activity in these courts. But they're not documenting it. But they're not documented in a fashion to where an investigator can look at that and go, yes, I see the pattern. Yes, I know who to target. Yes, I know this. So now we can start doing that. That excuse is off the board. Okay, I'm taking that off the board. That allows men and women who have been victimized by these courts to come together and work together. Okay. Number one. Number two is, and here's something you need to remember. Everybody listening needs to remember, attorneys are not investigators. They don't have that skill. It's an elite tradecraft. You have to work with investigators. And here's why. Attorneys litigate. That's it. They don't want to spend the time investigating. They want to take the investigative results, mold that into a prosecutorial summary if you're on the prosecution side or a defense argument, and submit that to the courts. That's what they do. They don't investigate it. They don't connect the dots. But there are a lot of parents who've been victimized by these courts that are good investigators. You guys are awesome. You connect all the dots. Well, this one relates to this, but you're not documenting it in a form that everybody can use. Okay. X-Mind allows us to do that. Okay. And with that, getting back to Daddy's House is Daddy's House, once we start getting this rolled out, we start getting the funding, that now collects the data on what? The courts. So think about that. It starts collecting data on the courts. Like, what court is this case going in front of? How did the judge rule? Who's associated with the judge? What attorneys were involved? What's going on with criminal activity? Is there parental alienation involved? How's that impacted with this certain case? What we can do, and we have plans to do this eventually, is we're going to build a big AWS environment for XMind. And then we're going to map all this data together in one massive environment. And why is this important? RICO charges against the federal government.
Now, am I looking at the right app? I'm looking at, or am I?
Lift your phone up a little bit. I don't know if it's available on mobile, but I know it's. I'll email you the
Oh,
link.
is it that one?
That's the one. That's one. It's XMind, Mind Map, and Brainstorm. That's if you got a mobile device, that's the mobile app for it, because I recognize the icon.
Cool.
But yeah. So we have the template. Anybody just DM me and say, Bill, can you send me the template? You were talking about it on the podcast. I'm like, yep, I know what you're talking about. Here's the XMind template. It's blank, but it's got the areas you need to fill in. And if you're working in it and you see an area that isn't mentioned, you can add it to it. It's flexible.
So you would add your judge and your attorneys. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, we have the earmarks already for you to drop all that in there.
Awesome.
But as you're working in XMind, you go, well, the template doesn't have this into it. You can go and add that area to your XMind. It's very flexible. If you see an area that doesn't relate to your case, you can delete it, take it out of the tree.
Okay.
Okay. And so you can do that. So that's very important for parents and everybody's been victimized by these courts to come together. But with Daddy's House, here's some areas we need help is you can go to daddyshouseshelter.com. There's a list of volunteer positions there. You can volunteer and help. So we don't necessarily need, if you're broke, don't worry. I'm not going to ask for your money, but you got time, lend time and help us out. Soon we got marketing brochures and pamphlets we're going to put up on the website in PDF format. You can download, print them, send them off to a printer if you want, and you can fold them. Some are multi-page. You can fold them. You can have one 8x10 flyer if you want. You can put those in businesses. You just walk into the business and go, I'm here because we're trying to get a DV shelter in Atlanta, Georgia started. Here's some information. Can I leave it on your counter? If you look, businesses do that all the time. Yeah, okay, just leave it over there. Just leave it right there. That'd be fine. You can do that. So we're taking excuse after excuse after excuse off the board. But also, too, if you think of an idea, hey, this works really good. We can use this. Volunteer time and do it. Okay, don't ask for permission. Call us up. Call me up. Send me an email. Get a hold of me through X or any of my social media accounts and say, I'd like to help. Here's what I'm good at, and I think this will work. Okay. Because we're doing the core heavy lifting. We're building the business plan. We're building the executive summary. I have both out peer review right now. I've got attorneys on the hook ready for the first, maybe second stage of peer reviews to be done. They're ready to look at it from a legal aspect. We've done the heavy lifting. What we need help with is everything else. Now, here's how else you can help. Everybody out there knows someone rich and famous. Everybody does. Put Daddy's House in front of them, and here's why. Are they going to say no to kids? That's what it boils down to, children. They can say, you know, a senator or a congressman, maybe a state senator, state congressman. Hell, you might know the governor of Georgia. Give him a call and say, hey, you need to talk to this guy. He's right there in Atlanta with you. Call, get one of your staff, call him up, set up an appointment time with him. He's available. Okay. And now here's why it's more important for the state of Georgia. From what I can see, the first lady of Georgia doesn't have a philanthropy. doesn't have a formal philanthropy she's supporting. What more honestly, genuinely beautiful thing to do, not only in this country and the globe, but in the state of Georgia, is to say, we're going to bring the first TV shelter east of the Mississippi right here to Atlanta. It's going to be the global showcase of all daddy shelters throughout the world. And we're going to make it the preeminent global showcase. What? I mean, if you think about the genuine purity of that, who can say anything bad about that? But there's going to be people who are going to say something bad because they don't have the best interests of children at heart. They don't.
Right.
You know, and when I was a victim of domestic violence, I'm holding a 14-month-old baby with a bottle, and I'm on the phone going, I need help. They go get a hotel, go find an Airbnb. And I'm like, I'm not going to take my kid with no help into a Airbnb or hotel room. Holy crap, I'll get the cops called on me. You know? And even when I took her to church, she made sure she stalked me, drove through the church parking lot, and made sure I was there and waited some instances until I got out of church so she could see me leaving and going. Because she was afraid, deathly afraid I would go to a DV shelter. But she didn't understand they don't take men. Now, if you talk to them, and I've talked to several of them in the state of Georgia, they'll say, oh, yeah, we take men. We take men all the time. But then when I go, okay, can you send me your demographics? In other words, what men, you had a DV shelter in the state of Georgia for 10 years, what percentage of men have you helped? They never do. I never get that data. But if they continue to challenge it, our attorneys will get in touch with them and demand it. And by law, because they're a nonprofit, they have to submit it to us then. And then it's going to be humiliating. So why go through the humiliation? Why not sit there and go, you know what? Bill's right. The state of Georgia, we have 72 men have nothing. There's nothing wrong with working for the betterment of children in a violent situation and getting children help. And from that, you help the dad and the fathers too. Now, from that, if we combine forces just in the state of Georgia with DV shelters, say, all right, we're all going to work together. You're right. There's nothing out there for men. We're going to get at least one going. That's all we need, one. But typically, they don't want to help men. Now, think of how toxic that is. That's a trait of an abuser.
True. And I had someone on my podcast not too long ago who thought all women's domestic violence shelters should be audited because they don't know where the money's going.
They don't. They don't. I know for a fact they don't. And I'm glad you brought that up. I wasn't going to bring that up. I wasn't going to say that because it gets off on another track. But they don't. And I know they don't because there are women working with veteran fathers that work in these DV shelters in the state of Georgia that are afraid to one come out in public and say it because they know their personal physical safety is in jeopardy, as well as the safety of their families in jeopardy. So think about that. It's a cartel. And they know that. They're working the they know what goes in the what comes in the shelter. One of them actually does the financials. And she's like, I got to tell them I can't do financials anymore because what they're doing with this money, they can't do. And I'm thinking, this is women calling me up going, hey, can we talk? I'm like, yeah, who are you? How'd you get my number? Well, I got your number because it's on the web, blah, blah, blah. But I work at a DV shelter. I don't want to tell you my name, but yeah, what they're doing with money is against the law. Now, what's greater question is, why hasn't the IRS investigated them? Why haven't they gone through an annual audit?
That
No.
and are they incorporating? And I've heard from this other podcast we were doing that CPS is involved and they're working with
100%. 100%. 100%. CPS is deeply engaged. So is DFACS, and everybody else is deeply engaged with, I would call, felony misconduct. Okay. And I don't use, you know me, I don't use terms flippantly unless I've done enough research to allow me to use that type of term. You know, like I use the term of implicit bias. Judges, I've exhibited implicit bias. That's a felony violation. That relates to a felony law that's been violated, 18 USC. But they still do it. Why? No one's holding them accountable.
No.
Nobody's holding them accountable.
Mm-mm.
So these DV shelters, not only will we agree to partner with the DV shelters focused towards women, That needs to be done. It needs to be done. Okay, number one. But number two is it has to be run by men. And here's why. We pulled down the data and research from other DV shelters that ended up being run by women. The core DV shelter that I'm thinking of that's got a tremendous amount of data and blogs and other social media feeds out there is the one out of Canada that was formed, I think, in 2014, 2015. I don't remember the exact date, but it got taken over and run by women. Men won't go there. Men won't go there. I mean, do some men go there? Sure. Some, because they ain't got nothing, nowhere else to go, but they won't go there because they're not getting the support focused towards men. It has to be focused towards men. And that's where these DV shelters are losing the perspective. They go, oh, we'll bring in counselors. No, we'll screen the counselors. Why? Because counselors are trained on how to counsel women, not men. It's a specialty. They have to go through a separate set of training criteria to adhere to the mandated standards to know how to counsel men and fathers. It's a whole different mindset, a whole different uniqueness. I've spoken with Dan at Men Need to Be Heard, and he used to be a counselor helping men. He brought a female counselor into one of his sessions. All the men, 100% across the board, clammed up. They wouldn't say nothing. And after the session, she looked at him and goes, well, that's not very productive. He goes, yeah, you know why? You were there. See, and it's the same construct with a man. If you take a man into an element of women discussing their violence that they've occurred from a man, you put a man in that environment, they'll all shut down. All the women will shut down. It's the same. But when the women who are abusive look at that, they go, oh, well, men don't talk. Men, no, men talk. Trust me, men talk to men. They're not going to talk when a woman's there. The other day on the web, it's a perfect example. The other way on the web, I posted a video comment about a documentary. It's called India Sons. If you haven't watched it, it's very important. You got to watch it. It's a very well done documentary. And somebody made a comment in there, and I don't remember what it was. I was working, and I happened to glance over at my other computer, and I went, that's really odd. And I opened it up and I was like, what did he make this in reference to? So I opened it up and I looked at it and I went, he's suicidal. I just a cold, even now talk about it, you get a cold chill because I was there. I was in the darkness. Trust me. I was in deep in the darkness. And a cold chill come over me and I banged him real quick. I said, don't you do that. You wait right there. I'll get you help. And I reached out. I know people all over the globe. And I figured out what country he was in. I reached out to a source I knew in the country who helps men. He immediately read the comment and he went, yep, absolutely. Reached out to him. We're getting him help. We saved a father. But not only that, he's got a little girl. Got a little girl. We saved her daddy. I mean, what more beautiful thing can you say? You saved a human life, but you also saved a child's father. Now, suicide's generational. If he would have committed suicide, there's this very strong possibility the daughter would have committed suicide too. We also saved that daughter. We also saved his little girl. So when you ladies think about this, take off the blinders that this is about sex, about gender. It's not. This is about helping victims or supporting abusers. And I've said this often, you've heard me say this, Marianne. There's no chair in the middle of the table. If you put your chair in the middle of the table, well, I haven't decided yet which one I'm going to support and why. I'll take your chair. I'll put you on the side of the abuser because you are an abuser. Inaction is an action.
Complicity.
Complicity. That's a cancer that's killing men. I mean, look at it. You see men jumping off the fifth floor of a parking garage in Disney World. He leaves a suicide note down about everything he went through in divorce court and all the illegal action and all the false allegations, everything. He committed suicide. As far as I'm concerned, that judge and those attorneys associated with it need to be held criminally liable. And there's law that says that can be done. Why isn't it being done? Because we aren't organized. Men and women refuse to organize. Men are the worst. And to you men listening, y'all suck. You really do, man. I mean, I'm talking, this is me being hard on men right now. So you ladies can sit back and mute your mic and sip your coffee and go, go, Bill, go. You guys suck. You really do. You're horrible to think that you can't support men, but you'll support women. What that tells me is you're not happily married. You're not. You're emotionally cheating. Here's why. When you seek the female approval of females that aren't your wife, that's a cheat. So politicians supporting women because you need female approval, you're cheating. And ladies, you're getting them to emotionally cheat on their wives. Shame on you. Shame on you. Instead, ladies, you should be looking at them going, why don't men have the same type of access to mental health care, legal professional help? And why are we abandoning their children? Ask them tough questions instead of going, thank you for the money, Senator. Man, you talk about, and with me, I hold a very stern line on this, and I am not going to give quarter. You either support abusers or you support victims. It is that clear. And to you male attorneys out there, don't call yourself a professional around me. Don't you dare call yourself a legal professional. You're not. You're part of the crime cartel. And here's why. I'm in the IT profession. When there's a breach, an exploit, or a problem, everybody in the IT profession jumps in to fix it. We do. It's across the board, 100%. Legal professionals know this illegal activity is going on, and they're doing nothing to fix it. Nothing. Think of all the brilliant criminal attorneys that are out there, the brilliant criminal prosecutors. The United States Attorney's Office are packed full of brilliant prosecutors that know these judges, attorneys, and officers of the court, CPS personnel even, are violating federal law. They don't give a damn.
No.
So you're not a professional. You're part of aiding and abetting criminal activity. It's that clear. The laws are very specific. Here's the law. If you do this, you're aiding and abetting. Whoop.
Yep.
When we get Daddy's House started, we're going to partner with law firms. We've already talked to a couple. And the law firms are going to come in and offer help. They are. Because they're professionals. You see the difference? When you have a legal community doing nothing, they're not legal professionals, they're cultists. Now, here's attorneys out there going, oh, I'm not a cultist, I'm doing this. Well, of course, that statement is broad spectrum. It isn't going to apply to everybody. I mean, put some common sense in there, people. Think. But by and large, a vast majority, in my opinion, 99% of the attorneys out there are doing nothing. Oh, and I said my opinion. And by the way, even though I'm a man, I'm allowed to have an opinion. Okay. So yeah, I talk tough to men. You betcha. Because men need tough talk from men. When a woman talks tough to a man, he shuts down. He emotionally shuts off. Why? Because men are getting beat up all the time about everything. Even other men will pick pile on because it's popular. Let's go. They got that guy. Let's get in there. Let's get old grandpa. Really? That makes you an abuser. What I do is I go, okay, that was abusive. Let me go into his followers. List of followers who support the abuser. That's how this works, people. You know, I posted a video of a social experiment where it showed people sitting and standing based off a bell ring. Ding, they stood up. Ding, they sat down. Ding, they stood up. Ding, they sat down. When they finish, if someone didn't sit up and sit down when the bell rang, they removed them from the group experiment. Then they removed the three participants that were in the group experiment, took them out because they knew the game, and they left the rest there. Ding, they stood up. Ding, they sat down. Guess who were the only ones left? Men. Men were the only ones left. I watched that young lady sit there like, screw you guys. You guys are crazy. I'm not going to stand up because I'm not a Pavlov dog. But what's that tell you about men? Men are not only protectors, but we're also pleasers, and we want social acceptance. Except when you have a high IQ and a high EQ. So EQ is emotional intelligence. When you have both combined, they look at what is socially acceptable and go, no, that's wrong. I'm not going to sit and stand based off some idiot ringing a damn bell. That's stupid. Now, what happens? What happens is you might have someone with a high IQ, but their EQ is so low, it brings it down because they're starving for acceptance. They're craving it. And humans are social creatures. So if humans are social creatures, they're starving for social acceptance. They're looking for group-oriented activities that make them feel good. They're participating. Daddy's house is it. Daddy's house is it. Without a doubt, daddy's house is it. Men, I've been abandoned. You fix men, you'll fix this country. No doubt in my mind. You'll see less domestic violence. You'll see less men committing violent crimes. But right now, when you alienate any gender, if you watch your history and you swing the pendulum too much to the left, supporting one gender over another, guess what happens? It not only swings back because you can't maintain it. You can do your own physics, research on physics. You can't maintain it in state. Right. It'll swing back. And when it swings back, men will hold it there. Why? Men don't forget shit. They might not tell you about it, but they don't forget a damn thing. And it will slowly drift down because it'll run out of energy, but it won't go back to center. They'll hold it to the right because they've learned a lesson. And this message goes out to all you ladies. If you want to lose everything the women have fought for, and you women have fought for a lot, and you've won, God bless you. Men haven't fought for jack. When we start fighting and organizing, and it goes back the other way, you can't point your finger at men and go, you're abusive. No, ma'am. You can't do that. Because right now, the feminist movements and the movements to support only women's activities has gotten abusive. Because you're not supporting both genders equally and fairly, both in law and in help, in aid, which now means the children pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
Children are paying the price. And what happens when children pay the price? They do not become good citizens.
Right.
The research is out there. I'm not saying this to make flippant conversations. The research is very definitive and accurate on all of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a lady, you're listening to this, you're involved in domestic violence shelters or funding agencies, you should honestly sit back and do a gut check and go, you know what? I might not like Bill. I might not like the way he says things. I might not like that guy at all. But he's right. Men need help. And their children need it the most.
I think people also have to understand with these court systems, you know, this cannot be a gender war. These judges, basically, they're taking kids away from good, healthy, loving, fit parents. I don't care if it's a father. I don't care if it's a mother. They're just doing this for state revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I keep going back to, we're too segmented. We're not teamed up. We haven't organized. Is they win by keeping us segmented and fighting against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They do that. And what's interesting is we allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that sad? I mean, you went through a horrible divorce. You faced false accusations. You went through the mix just like I did. We're no different from one another. We're both human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you and I realize, hey, you know, we have got to come together on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you challenged me. Just like, okay, you're out there preaching. You help women too. I need some help. Here it is right here. Here it is right here. I'm like, boom, no problem. Here's what we need to do. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So to all the men listening, I'm rubber meets the road. A lot of you men are hot air. You're an empty suit. And look at your legacy. Look at it this way, men. When you die, what do you want to go on your headstone? What do you want your children to remember about you? Look around you. Bronze statues are made of men who did amazing things. They dared. Dare to do something great and beautiful. Get involved. Get out there and say, you know what? When I leave this earth, I want my child, for me personally, I want my little girl to look at daddy and go, daddy's house.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy did that. My daddy did that. My daddy was involved. My daddy did something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that does for a child? They'll now look at their father like he's a freaking superhero. Every father out there wants to be a superhero for their children. But what are you doing to reach that superhero status?
Mm.
Superheroes have to act like superheroes. They have to do superhero shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do. And when you don't do superhero shit, you don't get it bestowed upon you by the goodwill and graces of people that did the work. They want that status. They did the work. And for you ladies, what's wrong with being a superhero for kids? What's so horribly, because the kid, oh, because they're children of a father who is the victim? Are you really that abusive? The word now you go, well, that's a father. I'm not going to work for a father's. I'm here to work for women. That is an abusive trait. And you've just identified yourself as an abuser. Yeah, a lot of this talk is tough. Yeah, a lot of this talk hits home. It's guttural, but it needs to be done. As adults, we have to have this level of conversation. Why? Until we do, until we realize I'm not the enemy, you're not the enemy, the kids are definitely not the enemy, they're being weaponized. The courts are the enemy. We have to unify on this. We don't have a choice, people. And you start building domestic violence shelters for men, watch things change. And here's why. Men know how to fight. Men are warriors. And you make a man mad, like the courts made me, I'm going to get you. Might take me 10 years, but I'm going to get to you. And I'm going to get these courts. I'm going to put these judges on trial. And my ultimate dream goal is to bring judges in front of The Hague. Because what they're doing is crimes against humanity. And I've read all the statutes under The Hague. I've read all the investigative criteria under the UN that UN has published. I've read through every bit that I could put my hands on. And family courts, the actions and conduct of these judges directly fall within the venue of The Hague, of which the United States is a signatory. Does that shock you? Think about it. The United States is a signatory of crimes against humanity, specifically crimes against children, all fit within the UN charters. And the United States has signed it. Boom, done. UN can blow into the United States right now with a 200 person investigative team. The US has to pay for it. And they have to investigate family court. And they're allowed to serve international subpoenas and warrants to get information and people in front of The Hague and put them on trial. They have that authority, but it isn't being done. Why?
You know, every dog has its day. This maybe could be a matter of time.
Well, it could be a matter of time. I mean,
I don't know.
it could be. I don't know, but it isn't being done because the social political environment currently in America doesn't think about that, doesn't think strategically. We're in a self-preservation mode. Like I talk to fathers all the time, I want help with my case. I'm like, your case is not that important. Well, yes, it is to you, but in the broader spectrum that I have to look at and running a national organization, no, you're a flea on a dog's back, baby. I got to focus on the national organization. I can't focus on one-off cases. Now, how do we focus on one-off cases? Daddy's house. Because now you've got somewhere to go and get help on your specific case. Without daddy's house, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. You know, I had this conversation. I did another podcast with Butch Slaughter. You had him on
Oh,
here.
yeah.
I love Butch, in which he had a multimillionaire in there talking about what he went through in divorce court. He went through like ungodly amount of false allegations, beat them all. And he didn't expose the fact that he's a multimillionaire. I know he is. Not only that, but to have the financial whereabouts to fight 60 some odd false allegations and come out on top financially is amazing. You can only do that if you're a multimillionaire. I asked him, I said, how long can a company run without money? It can't. I say that again louder because it can't operate. Exactly. So I went out and I got the first tranche of corporate donations to get Veteran Fathers up and running. When that money goes away, I'm going to close the shutters, nail them shut, pull in all the intellectual property, and walk away because I will be exhausted. Now, there's some of you people out there listening going, yeah, good. We need to starve him to death. We need to let him go away. Think about that. Think about how toxic and abusive that thought is. So we only have good intent to help children, but help victims of domestic violence. A victim is a victim, regardless of gender. Get the gender out of your head. Okay. How toxic and abusive is it to think that? Oh, we're just going to bleed him dry and he'll go away. He'll quit stirring the pot. How abusive and a toxic can you be? But most importantly, you're walking away from children. If that doesn't rip the heart from your chest, you're a narcissist because you have no feelings or emotions. And that's just, when I sit about it and I think about it some nights, I'm like, Yeah, I got to work till 2 in the morning. Yeah, I got to work till 3 in the morning. Yeah, I got to get up at 5 again, get back to work. Yeah, I got to get this executive summary done. Yeah, I got to get this business plan done. Yeah, I have to make sure the research is definitive and accurate. Yeah, I have to put all that in there because I have to get daddy's house going. No doubt in my mind. And when it does, everybody associated with us is going to ride the tidal wave. Think about that. You want to be a hero to your kids? Daddy's house is your hero. You can put that cape on everywhere. And then as we build it and as it grows, we're going to need more support, more help. You can start it in your own state. You can be in Bhopal, India and start a daddy's house. That's why we built it with a global strategy. Doesn't matter where you're at. There's nothing stopping you. Now, it's important all these DV shelters come under one guideline. Here's why. Because now we can centralize the money. Now we can do the audits and checks. Now we can go in and make sure the money's spent correctly. That's why these other DV shelters aren't spending their money correctly, is because they don't fall under corporate governance. See, you brought it up yourself. Some of them don't even have an LLC.
Oh.
Oh my God. But if you do fall under one venue, one headquarters, we have to, by law, do semi-annual and annual financial audits on all the DV shelters.
Yes.
Now, do you get it? Instead of spinning them out signally, go, wait a minute, you need to put a daddy's house in. It has to fall under veteran fathers. Therefore, it's got corporate governance already in line to go in and do this. What does that mean? More people have to come on board. And eventually, we'll turn those volunteers into 1099s. And eventually, we'll turn those 1099s into W-2s. As we grow, as it gets bigger, as we go into every state, every country in the world. I mean, when you understand business, you understand how businesses are created, you understand funding and capital investments and expenditures, you get it. But when you don't understand the broader picture. So Bill's saying everything needs to be brought under one umbrella. Well, he's just greedy. Wow. That tells me you have no clue what you're talking about because you don't understand strategy, you don't understand business. So go out and start watching videos, start learning about business.
Well, let me ask you this before we, because I don't want to keep you all afternoon, but one last question. But how do you stop someone who is, we'll say, a CPS troll from infiltrating Daddy's house as they have these women domestic violence shelters?
Well, it's very easy. So we've already laid the groundwork for this. We're about to sign a partnership with an outside company that'll assume all our investigative, digital investigative efforts, such that if they make comments, if there's disparaging comments about them on the web, we'll find that out because their digital footprints are massive out there with the CPS agents. And from that, when they go through our screening process, that will be caught. Okay. We will catch that, and only that, but there's going to be group and team as well as one-on-one interviews as well. And if that comes out, let's say they slip through the cracks, which will happen. Let's say it slips through the cracks. Now, all of a sudden, we start seeing that. Boom, termination effective immediately, go away. So now you've got these CPS agents, you've got these attorneys who have the moniker that goes with them. I'm daddy's house approved. Boom, power. Power right there. You got someone who's going through a divorce that wants to know if they got a good attorney. All they need to do is look through their website, find the daddy's house approval seal. They know they got a good attorney. CPS, same thing, right there on her business card, Daddy's House Approval Seal. Boom, right there. And that's how you govern that. That's how you control that.
Well, I would like to have you back on the podcast again. Again, how can people reach you?
The best way is to go to our link tree. So it's link.ee/veteranfathers. .com. You can find us there. I'll send it to you so you can post it in your notes. That link tree is the best way. It gets access to all our sites. Plus, we have a Proton Mail account that's listed on the Veteran Fathers domain, veteranfathers.com. You can go there. If you have information of a crooked judge, if you have video of a crooked judge, go to that link, just like James O'Keefe does. Go to that link, send it to us. We will use it. I'm an investigative reporter. I'm duly certified within Veteran Fathers. That's on all my profiles as well as my business cards. I'm protected under the constitutional guidelines. You can send me that information. I'll protect you as a source. Get it over to me. I'd love to publish about these crooked judges and corrupt environments. If you want to get these judges in these environments, recording devices on Amazon, very small. You can use them. Put them on your person. You can use your mobile device. Marianne, you and I have talked about that. But you can do this. Get engaged, get involved. These criminal functions and these crime cartels need to be disassembled. DOJ is not going to do it for us. It's going to require private citizens to do it.
I'm so glad you came on, and this is valuable information. So I'm going to have you back on, but don't jump off, okay?
Okay.
Slam the Gavel is a podcast to help the public understand what really goes on in the family courtrooms. I am your host, Marianne Petry, author of Dismantling Family Court Corruption, Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough, and Cry Out for Justice, Poems of Truth, and Raised by These Wolves, How Family and Federal Courts Are Failing Our Children. You can find me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple iTunes, Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, other platforms I don't know about. And feel free to buy me a coffee to help keep this podcast going. And you can find that in the podcast notes. Thank you so much, Veteran Fathers, Bill Corbett. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's always great seeing you.
Good seeing you too. See you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.